17 minutes until 8 o'clock, Thursday morning on the Mighty 690 KGGF. It's a small world. I'm Bill Small. It's 70 degrees. And on the phone with us is Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison. How you doing this morning, Chief?
Doing good, Bill. How are you?
I'm getting better every day, Chief. And this is a serious subject, and I hate to put you in the position of having to criticize brother officers, but have you seen the Uvalde police, the active shooting video yet?
You know, no, I haven't watched that. You know, when I look into these things, I look at them from an educational perspective and what can we do to prevent these things from happening in Independence. So I'm sticking to the researching the official information that's been uncovered in the investigation, and that I just got a copy of that report from the researchers yesterday and haven't had a chance to look through it.
Yeah, it seems to me, and I'm a layperson, you know, it just seems to me that this would be a great video on what not to do in the in dealing with an active shooter situation. You guys, I mean, nobody says it's ever going to happen in Independence, right? But they probably thought in Uvalde it wasn't going to happen there either. So you guys are going through all the measures necessary to ensure that you are ready and ready to just jump into action if something like this happens. Am I right?
We are. You know, we've looked at, just like everybody else in the country, we've looked at the Uvalde situation with a critical eye. You know, it's pretty clear that that did not go the way that it should have gone. So there's a lot of lessons learned there. If anything positive can be taken from that, it should be that here are a lot of things that we need to make sure that we're teaching and training our officers and our community in to prevent such a tragedy from recurring.
What's an officer's responsibility when you get the word that there's a potential active shooter situation underway?
Well, when you have an active shooter, the officer has one responsibility, and that is to stop the threat. And just to speak plainly, you know, we have trouble speaking plainly.
But yeah.
To speak plainly, Bill, that means that we're probably going to end up killing this person.
Which is the advice...
into a scenario in which they take their own life.
That is the advisable action, I would say. If somebody's taken the time to show up with a high-powered weapon to waste as many people as possible, negotiation, to me anyway, seems like that's not something you really want to do. You want to neutralize the threat.
We do. And, you know, that the active shooter response is 180 degrees in the opposite direction from how we train police officers and use of force. You know, we put it in policy that across the country, we put it in policy that requires officers to attempt de-escalation when they arrive on scene in a use of force scenario. But, you know, we need to give people an opportunity to surrender, and that's proper, but there are times when that's not proper, and one of those times is when it's an active shooter. And in that case, The only appropriate response is to attack the active shooter.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're not going to let a locked door stop you, are you?
No. You know, one of the things that we learned from the Uvalde incident and also from the Tulsa hospital active shooter is that, you know, we have a high security country, and we have locked doors, and appropriately so. And so, you know, police officers are impacted by that locked door as effectively as people who would come into a location to do harm. And so we are beginning a project to equip our officers with breaching tools. And so, you know, we have breaching tools available to us, but readily available to us through our fire department. But we want to we're working to find the resources to put breaching tools in all of our patrol cars. So that may be a project that starts small, and over time, you know, we want to equip all of our patrol cars, and then over time we'll equip the entire fleet with breaching tools. And then, of course, we're going to dedicate time to training with our fire department so that we can become as good at breaching doors as they are.
Excellent. Brian Klein's got a question for you.
Yeah, Chief. There really isn't, it's difficult, very difficult to foresee something like this happening, and I think the only way that we can really make a difference is mitigating the circumstance. And just kind of, how is it that we can, you know, maybe foresee something like this happen and do some things in advance of that?
For instance, if somebody's acting out,
yes,
in social media,
what is it, the warning signs we need to look for? What is it that we can do? Call the police, that type of thing, before something like this happens?
Yes. So they are beginning, you know, the FBI's Behavioral Analysis Unit and researchers are starting to have begun telling us that there is a profile for active shooters. You know, a couple of years ago when I was going through grad school and doing the research and studying active shooters, there wasn't necessarily a profile developed. So one of those, you know, and there are a few things that many of them have in common that we can start studying, such as pre-attack indicators, you know, familiarity with weapons and posting pictures online, you know, on their social media or posting threats on social media. So, yes, when the members of our community see concerning posts on social media or Snapchat or, you know, any of the outlets, it would be helpful to preserve that if possible, but at least report it. Give us the opportunity to look into it.
There's so many times we just...
we won't make a mountain out of a molehill.
We'll
do our due diligence and look into those things.
There's so many times that we just, you know, look at something that somebody posts and say, well, they're a kook, and we go on, you know. It's difficult to draw that line of, hey, he's a kook, or this guy could be dangerous.
Well, there's a difference between posting something kooky and posting something specific.
Right.
And that's what, you know, there are times when there are people out there that we probably do need to look at when they post something kooky. But when they post something specific, we've got to get to work.
And one thing I noticed from Uvalde, that there was seemed to be a lot of standing around waiting to be told what to do. Your officers are specifically told in Independence that they do not need to wait for the police chief to tell them to go after an active shooter.
That's absolutely correct. You know, we have these people, some would say an extreme background check on our officers. We do a thorough work. We do a thorough job of hiring these folks. We do a thorough job and invest heavily in their training, in their equipment. We give them firearms, and we send them out in our community to do a job. And why in the world would we not trust them to do the job in an active shooter situation when we trust them to do the job everywhere else? So as far as I'm concerned, our police officers are trained to make decisions. They're trained to appropriately and legally use force and be able to explain why they use that force. And so, you know, we're going to build it into our future training. Because of the Uvalde lessons, we're going to build it into our future training to make it very clear that, you know, the people at the tip of the spear, the ones at the scene in the violence, they're going to be the ones that make the decision on what happens next. They're not going to wait. They're not going to be permitted to wait.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of what happens next, once you've neutralized the shooter with extreme prejudice, there's more to be done on the scene. Am I right?
Well, there is. You know, what gets lost in this is that a very serious crime or multiple serious crimes have occurred. And these crimes need to be preserved. And even if there's no suspect left living, you know, if the suspect is killed as we attempt to end the threat and the suspect commits suicide or dies as a result of that, we still have a crime scene here to preserve, because we need to be able to document that our officers, our personnel, used force appropriately. And then, of course, at the very end of the day, we need to be able to study this scenario and take lessons away from it that that make our society better and safer. You know, every one of these actions of violence is a failure of our society. We need to study these failures and try to prevent them from recurring.
Now, speaking of training, your office, your department in Independence Police Department, you provide what's called ALICE training. What does ALICE stand for?
I don't have the acronym pulled up in front of me, but it is a run, hide, fight style of training that is supported and respected across the country in the professional, you know, in my professional world. And so this is a program that we've offered for free to our community for a few years now. Sergeant Dustin Stafford offers this program. And basically they come in, they teach you about disrupting the attack and how to hide, you know, things to think about. And, but the real value of it comes from some other things as well, such as we go through the facility with students of the program. We go through the facility with the people participating, and we kind of we guide them to develop their own security plan, look for vulnerabilities in their area, and then try to develop plans to respond to an emergency. The problem is, Bill, is that when you enter into an emergency, if it's a new situation for you, you begin to innovate, and oftentimes it doesn't turn out well because
right.
you're not, you know, you haven't thought this through. And so our goal is to try to, if something terrible, tragedy is to befall an organization like this, our hope is that these people have, quote unquote, been through it before. You know, maybe mm-hmm. they've been through it in their mind, or maybe they've been through it in training, and that they've developed a plan, and their brain defaults to that plan, and they execute their plan and survive.
Now, you provide this ALICE training to businesses, schools, and organizations on request. If somebody wants to get that training, how do they arrange that?
They can call and request an appointment to speak with Sergeant Dustin Stafford, and they can call 620-332-1700 and just ask for him or ask to leave him a voicemail. Or they can email him directly at DustinF@IndependenceKS.gov.
Okay.
DustinF@IndependenceKS.gov.
Well, it's been a very instructive and informative discussion. Chief Jerry Harrison, Independence Police Department. It's great to know you're up there keeping everybody safe. Thanks for sharing some time with us this morning on the Mighty 690 KGGF.